Okay, we're going to go back to the Gemara now. Before we do that, we spent a number of weeks talking about Birkat Kohanim. On the outside, as they say. And I mentioned something in passing which was not precise, which is another way of saying it was incorrect. The overwhelming majority of Poskim think that there's no problem with a non-Kohen reciting the Psukim of Birkat Kohanim. Could even be, this is not the halacha lemaisa, but it could even be that non-Kohanim, in theory, could also duchen. There's such a shita in the Rishonim and even some Achronim. They can't recite the bracha of Asherket Chanu B'Mitzvotzivanu L'Varech Moshe Be'Ava, but a non-Kohen, if there were Kohanim present, in theory, could be mitztaref to the duchening, and go up and duchen. Now that's not the halacha lemaisa, but you know this question of how a kohen could use the birkat kohanim. I mentioned that Rabbi Riskin is always noeg at the bar mitzvah, or a non kohen like we all do on Leil Shabbat for our children. So there is a question of when you recite those psukim. So to differentiate from Birkat Kohanim proper, so whether or not you can use one or two hands, and whether or not a Kohen can or should, you know, use
the spock.
So Rav Avadia Yosef, in his inimical fashion, Zechrono Levracha, his inimical fashion, addresses this question in the Yechaved Dat Chelek Hei Simen Yud Dalid. Sheila, ha'im mutar liYisrael levarech et bano u'talmido bebirkat kohanim? Presumably, it would also be, you know, his daughters. Keshehu somech shtei yadav al rosho. O shema yesh lahakpid shelo yismoch ela yad achat bilvad. So one hand instead of. So to differentiate, so to make it clear that you're not trying to imitate birkat kohanim. What? Yeah, so he addresses all of that. And then, of course, he goes through all of the sources and the sikum. You know, that's the fun thing about the Yechaved Dat. You can, you know, Rav Avadia had two different series of shutim, two different volumes, the Abiya Omer and the Yechaved Dat. The Abiya Omer are much more substantive, lengthy, detailed tshuvot. The Yechaved Dat are a little more tamtziti. Did I say tamtziti? Concentrated, abbreviated. And he also gives you the sikum. He tells you the, you know, like a lot of tshuvot don't have that. Like the Igros Moshe doesn't have that. To understand what the Igros Moshe is saying, you have to read the whole Igros Moshe. You have to read the whole 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 20 pages of the tshuvot. But in the Yechaved Dat, at least, I think, I may be mistaken, I think this, you know, he used to have this radio program. Rav Avadia used to have this radio program before he was chief rabbi. Mm-hmm. And people would call up with it was a call-in show, and he would.
What, they have those today?
Yeah, and as today they have the Shut SMS.
Oh,
yeah, I know on the Reshet Moreshet, was it? But in other words, it was in the era before the Shut SMS. But in other words, somebody would call up on the radio. They'd say, "Call next caller online. This is Shlomo from Ofakim." Right, I want to know. Can I when I do the Birkat Kohanim? Can I put my, and this would be the end. Like he would have it all in his head. He would list off, boom, 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 the catalog of all the Rishonim and the Achronim, and give the tshuva on the spot. So I think the Yechaved Dat, the more abbreviated tshuvot, at least originated. Some of them originated in those radio programs, but they have the sikum at the end. B'sikum horim amivarchim et bneihem ve'rabanim amivarchim et tamideihem. Oh, the shar bnei adam rishaim levarich otam bebirkat kohanim kishehem somchim yad achat shel yamin al rosh hamitbarich. Oh, b'shtei yadayim zochot kachat. In other words, it really, there's not a problem. There's not a problem. So when I was mifakpek and raised an eyebrow, I was mistaken. There are machmirim, but yesh yoter midai al malasmoch. Okay, so that's Birkat Kohanim v'gemara. Let's go back to the Gemara. But I give it. What do you give these back to me? You didn't read the whole thing. What are you going to do between Mincha and Marv? You can read the. the whole tshuva. Even so, take two. The Mishnah on Daf Kof Dalet Omid Beis. You see, we are almost at the end of the third parak. We have one, besides a few lines here, we have one Daf. So tonight, I apologize, we have to be abbreviated tonight, but hopefully next week, even if we just have to do it Daf Yomi style, we'll finish the parak. So somebody tell Saul, next week he has to bring hot dogs. So let us see him on the parak. What? You don't like hot dogs? How about a brisket sandwich?
Oh, now you're talking.
Okay. Mishnah. Ha'omer, eini over lefnei ateva b'tzivuin. Af bilvenim lo ya'avur. A guy says, I will not be shliach tzibur if I'm wearing colored clothing. We don't let him be shliach tzibur even if he's wearing white clothing. B'sandal, eini over, af yachef lo ya'avur. If he says, I won't go b'shlach tzibur wearing sandals, so we don't even let him do it barefoot. No, here it means it's supposed. Yeah, no, it's true that in later Hebrew, your whites are your.
No, obviously.
With real shoes, right. No, so sandal here means shoe, either what we call sandals or what we call shoes. And today, of course, generally speaking, shlichei tzibur do not daven barefoot. But you see that this was not always the case, right? So what is this talking about? So Rashi says, ta'amam mefarish b'gemara. Hold your horses. Ha'oset filato agula sakana. Maze? How do you have a round tefillah? Tefillin, yafeh. Tefillah is the singular of tefillin. Right, tefillah here doesn't mean prayer, it means a phylactery. You know what the word phylactery means? No, that's in Greek. That's P-H-I, this is P-H-Y. If it's from a different shorish, I think.
Yeah, I remember your fellow was called about a year ago.
And it's phylactery is a... It's not a useful translated word.
No. It's one of these words that is never, you don't need a translation because nobody ever uses it outside of the actual word.
Right.
No, it's totally useless.
In translating the Agnon, the last Agnon book came out today. Mazel Tov.
Wow.
It's a bigger compliment. 15 volumes.
Wow.
So, like, how do you translate tefillin? Mm-hmm. You translate it as phylactery, which is not a word that anybody would use in regular conversation. When you're translating a literary text, you're not translating a halakhic text. You're translating a literary text. Where you just write tefillin and assume that's a word that people know as well as they know the word phylactery. Yeah. So I used that. I think we used tefillin. The word phylactery in older, not old French, like Rashi spoke, but in pre-modern French, you know, the French of 100, 200 years ago, was a word that was used, you know, like in a cartoon, the what we call the word bubble in a cartoon, that was called in French a phylactère, meaning
because there was text inside
a box that contains text, right? So whatever
like in
the
word,
like in
a
word,
text box,
yeah, text box, yes, right. The comment bubble on the side, right? So that idea that it's a container for text. Right, that's. I don't know when the first.
Read the Philologos column.
So David will send us the Philologos column.
Yeah, it doesn't have.
So if you have a round tefillin, it's a sakana, it's a danger. Right, Rashi says shelo tikanes b'rosho.
So it's round in this way.
So in other words, if you have something that's flat,
revealed.
If you have an object that's flat, right, and you press it on your head, the pressure gets
spread
over the flat surface. But if you have a round...
That's assuming that your head is flat.
No, nobody's head is flat. But in other words, the point is that there's one point that, there's more surface...
There's more surface area making area contact.
Making contact.
The difference between stepping on somebody's toe or a woman with a high heel with her
pointy yes, right, same idea. So something that's a sphere, something that's spherical, if it's resting... Imagine tefillin that look like a sphere. Resting on your head...
Tefillin would be like a big bullet.
It, right. So that's it. So it's a sakana, and you do not fulfill the mitzvah. Not al mitzcho. If you put the tefillin on your forehead instead of
above the hairline,
no, on your hairline, right? Now this is the problem because the psukim say
Beinenecha.
So you land from Mars, you open the Gideon Bible in the Motel 6 on your first night in town, you think tefillin is supposed to go here, right? But in fact they go here at the hairline. Now this is always, you know, people have to be reminded of this. We all have this idea. Actually, you guys are doing pretty good compared to me, but maybe me and Ben. But most of you still have a hairline. But your hairline is not where it once was. But, you know, our vanity likes to imagine. So, like, you know, you'd put your tefillin, like, you know, like up here, like on the tippy top. But you have to, like, really know. Like, the hairline is, what's his name? Danny Mann wrote a good column on this recently in the, you know, he writes from the Eretz Chemda, it's in the Torah Tidbits, it's online, about the proper placement of the Tefillah Shel Rosh.
Yeah,
so in other words, if you take your hand and you go like this, and yeah, I mean everybody's head is shaped a little different, but there's a point where, you know, like the roller coaster here, like is where right here, right? Where there's the sharpest angle. Right, where it really, like if your head really was a block, right, where the seam would be. So right here is where the tefillin should be. So many people make an error and wear the tefillin, right, in the wrong place. And it's not proper, and you have to be reminded of this. Usually in shul there's somebody...
Like this or like this.
Yeah, you know, like there's always somebody in shul, like in the Shtiblach in Katamon, it's like... They must have like a rotation of one in every minion. There's a guy, and it's always like in the middle of Kriya Shema. So he can't talk, and you can't talk. And he'll come up to you, and he'll go, to tell you that your tefillin's a little too high, a little too low, a little too. Right? Misara Datot. Misara Datot. Right? Because everybody knows it's better. Like, who wants to daven? It's better to spend the whole time like telling other people what to do. So if somebody puts their tefillin here on your mamash on the forehead, al pasiado, beinecha uviadecha, right? So what's the pshat? Where should you put your tefillin? Right? Right there. Maze pasiado. What Yosef Visurel Havet Yosef Mikol Banav? I don't know, ketonet pasim. What's ketonet pasim?
Strike.
Well, so lefi Rabbi Andrew Lloyd Webber, it's a coat of many colors, right? Yeshomrim, the pshat seems to be pasim are striped. I think Rashi brings an opinion that ketonet pasim, the pas is the palm. It's another word for the hand. And it was a long sleeve coat that the sleeves came down to his hands, which was something of a more fancy garment than, let's say, a kind of cloak that you would wear without sleeves, or one that had short sleeves. And that's why, as they gave, as all the other kids had whatever it was, yeah. You know, like jeans jackets, and Yosef had a fur coat. Yosef had a fancy overcoat or whatever it was. So, in other words, if you follow what seems to be the pshat, not the pshat, the mistaken pshat in the pasuk, and you put your tefillin in the wrong places, Hareze derech haminut. This is heresy. Why is this heresy? Right. It's against the Torah Shebal Peh. Rashi says shemevazin midrash chachamim v'holichin achar ha mashma ki mashma'an bein einecha mamash v'al yadecha mamash v'raboseinu darshu b'menachot b'gzeira shava bein einecha zo katkod makom shchucho shel tinok, the place where you know the baby's soft spot is
Fontanelle.
Okay, that where? Why? And it's because where the plates of the skull have not yet
haven't closed,
right? So that's what that line is here. You know, like if you ever look at a skull, alas, poor Eureka, I knew him, Horatio. You could see there, you know, the line, the seams on the skull, which in adult are fused together. So that's the mark where the tefillin should be. I hope that's true. What I just said.
Listeners will write in and
yes, Steve, wherever you are.
It's not higher up though. Isn't that
tail is higher up?
Right? It's between the frontal and parietal bones.
Oh well, there you go.
That's any help.
So in other words, so what's this minut? So this is the tzdukim. You know, the tzdukim were like the Karaites before the Karaites came along. They rejected the Torah Shebaal Peh for a more literal reading of the Torah Shebichtav. So that's why this is minut. That's why it's heresy. Tzipan Zahav. If you cover them, presumably we're still talking about tefillin, with gold. Now Rashi says... Nakan, in the Gemara.
What? Before the Gemara.
Oh, here. Tzipan Zahav. Nami kativ leman tiyeh Torah Hashem beficha. Shiyeh hakol mi behema tohura. If you... Wait, did I skip something?
Rashi is in the opposite.
The two Rashis are. That's interesting. The two Rashis,
yes.
That's interesting. So Rashi says that if you cover them with gold, now it's not clear if we talk about cover the tefillin with gold, like you put gold leaf over the tefillin, or if you cover the parashiot in gold, right? But we learn out the ingredients of tefillin from the pasuk. Torat Hashem beficha, that the tefillin have to be something from a kosher animal. In other words, just like the Torah has to be in your mouth, the Torah that's embodied in the tefillin have to be made from things you could put into your mouth, which is the leather of a behema tahura. Now, it's not just that it has to be kosher, but it has to be something that's like edible, ki'ilu, like at least in principle. Right, so that so from this you learn that you can't put the gold on it. Okay, well, the Gemara will come to. V'natna al beit onkili shelo harei zederech achitzonim. Maze achitzonim? Rashi says bnei adam haholchim acharei daatam. Chutz midat chachamim, deboinan lacha laot velo laacherim laot. If you put it on your onkele, either means on your sleeve. You, like you put it over your shirt. You know, you don't like roll up
the shirt,
right? And you know, there's always like a problem with like you know, what do you do with your sleeve? Like how do you do it? What do you do? You know, like there are people that are makbid to wear a jacket. Like when they daven, so what do they do? But you have to have a sleeve that's big enough.
You drape it over yourself.
Right. So there's two ways to do it. One is either your jacket has a sleeve that's big enough to fit your arm with your tefillin in it. Right. And sometimes I have like one shirt, I have a couple shirts where. like this part, like when you whatever this part is, when you open up the button and you roll up the sleeve, right? It's not. I can't even get my shirt back over the.
Right,
film,
I do too.
Right. So, and sometimes if you try to pull, you know, something's like very tight, and something you end up moving its filling out of the proper place.
Either that or tear your shirt.
Or you tear your shirt. And some people, you'll see, like some guys will wear, because they want to wear a jacket for the davening. You don't see it too much in this minyan. But they can't, the sleeve is not big enough to hold the tefillin. So they wear their jacket like this.
Which is very important.
Right? So Rabbi Soloveitchik, who was like a religious Jew, Rabbi Soloveitchik apparently had Reb Chaim's tefillin. I don't know the story. I mean, he had his grandfather's tefillin. He had inherited his grandfather Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's tefillin. And those tefillin, like our tefillin, are all, there's like a standard size. Like how what?
But they weren't. They were,
but they were. Like, so our tefillin, you go to the day of Sofer, you order tefillin, the tefillin are all more or less a standard size.
In,
what? Within a small, right?
But 50 years ago.
But forget 50 years ago. Even, I guess I'm getting older.
I hate to say it, 50 years ago was my bar mitzvah.
So the tefillin you got for your bar mitzvah, they were the little tefillin bar mitzvah? They were the bar mitzvah tefillin?
No.
But when I became bar mitzvah, I got what were called bar mitzvah tefillin, you know, which were about half the size of... They were posel chatchila, I discovered at some point. And there used to be tefillin that were much more... So Reb Chaim's tefillin were considerably bigger. And there were Reb Chaim's tefillin. And so he couldn't keep the jacket on because of these tefillin. So he used to daven without a jacket on.
I had a
tibbasid. So somebody would say to him, why don't you like do this thing where the guys wear the jacket, keep one sleeve off? So he said, because it's us to look stupid. It's not mechobed. You'd stand before a melech dressed like that. You think you're a lunatic, right? It looks like you know, it's like my 10-year-old, right? If he has to button a shirt, there's no chance he's going to get all the buttons, you know, in a, like this button will go into that hole and like the right. It doesn't work out.
I don't understand how that person doesn't realize.
They also have questions about you.
Many more.
So if you put your tefillin over your sleeve. The Yeshomim Unkele is Unkele is obviously not a Hebrew word, it's a Greek word. What does it sound like?
Uncle?
No.
It
does sound like uncle though. Ankle. The Greek word for ankle, does he quote this here? Is it there in the Lashon?
It means like hook.
Like hook, right? Meaning something that's bent like this.
Uncle is also, they say, that have like some feature like that. That's what
they call it. So what we call in English the ankle, which is that point where the foot curves like this, was also the Greek word for elbow. You can understand that an elbow and an ankle are similar. So if you put the tefillin here, so yeah, show me, that's the pshat. But the point is that you put your tefillin on in a wrong way. Hareze derech achitzonim. The chitzonim is not exactly apikorsut. They're mistaken. Right? I mean, the chitzonim, they don't follow the halacha. Right? But they don't have like a heretical way of reading the Torah, which is what the tztukim, did. In other communities, not in ours. So the Gemara asks, my taima, what's the reason that if these things, the begin the ratio of the Mishnah, ha'omer, eini over lefnei hateva, I won't daven in colored clothing, I won't daven wearing sandals, we don't even let him daven in white clothing or barefoot. My taima, chayshin and shema minut nizrikubo. There was apparently some kind of heresy, I don't know that we know which brand of heresy this was, where they would only daven in colored clothing. Right? So if somebody, now, people would also wear white. In other words, not every heretical practice is heresy. In other words, sometimes a broken clock is right twice a day. So if there was some kind of minug that these heretics had, that they would not pray in white clothing,
colored clothing.
In colored clothing, right? And I happen to come to shul that day and I'm wearing white clothing, that doesn't mean that I'm wearing it for the purposes of their avodah zarah. So a guy shows up to shul wearing white clothing, we let him daven. But if he says, I won't daven in colored clothing, we don't let him daven at all.
Probably based on that, there's a pasuk in Kohelet which talks about like your clothing should always be white.
Maybe.
And we're like when, I mean, it's not exactly the same thing, but yeah, there's a book, The Year of Living Biblically, by the author A.J. Jacobs, where he basically decides to just follow the, you know, Bible as liberally as he can. Something's more machmir than something's less, but he basically decided to wear white all the time. Exactly what it is. So, you know, it's very possible.
Because you think like biblically, you think like one of like brown, like think of Moses in any movie.
The Bible and decide what to wear. So like, you know, but you can imagine a scenario where there might have been cults or whatever they who read that pasuk took it literally, so you could only wear white, and therefore.
Ha'oset tefilato agula sakana ve'ein ba mitzvah. Lema tanina laha detanu rabbanan tefillin mirubanin halach lamoshe misinai. So this Mishnah, let's say it's predicated on this Braisa. The Braisa says that square tefillin is halach lamoshe misinai. Right? There are many halachot in Stam that in square tefillin mezuzot that are halach lamoshe misinai. So in other words, the Mishnah says you can't wear round tefillin. Pshiti can't wear round tefillin. Why? Because halacha l'moshe misinai, they have to be square. What do we mean they have to be square? They don't actually have to be cubes. Are tefillin all are cubes? A cube meaning the length and the height and the width are equal size. But the truth is that the tefillin can be, the base has to be, and there's two parts of the tefillin. There's the bayit. Anybody have a pair of tefillin? Aha, tell us. Anyway, there's the bayit, the square part on top, which in our tefillin is the shape of a cube. And then there's what's called the titura, the base on which it sits. And then there's what's called the
ma'abarta.
The ma'abarta. These are the spares? Here. These are the shuls? Right. In other words, this is the bayit. It happens in our tefillin. Actually, you can see it's not exactly. It's a little higher than it is. In other words, this has to be exactly square. Right? But it doesn't have to be a perfect cube. And you can see that the height is slightly higher than it is long and wide. And in theory, you could have tefillin that are higher. And it's how are the parshiot in the shel rosh? The shel yad. It's one piece of cloth rolled up like this. In the shel rosh, they're four folded like four little envelopes in four compartments. But here, in theory, in other words, you write the parshiot like this. And then you roll it up more elegantly than I'm doing right now. And the cloth sits inside like this, like a little megillah. If the cloth was taller, you could have tefillin that were taller. Now we don't have, I've never seen any such things. But you could have such a thing. It has to be square like this, and the titura, you see the seams? Are also perfectly square. Now this part is called the titura. A titura is also the name for the brim of a hat. Right? You can see that it's like the brim of the hat. This part here is called the Ma'avarta, because the Ritzua is over, Ma'avir, through that passageway. So the Gemara says, but tefillin have to be square anyway. So what are you talking about, round tefillin? The truth is that in the Geniza, you know what they found? They found round tefillin. You can like Google it and see. Like now, they're all like shrunken and shriveled and whatnot. But apparently, there were what do you call that? Heretical.
Some of them are carrots. They're carrots.
Right. There were non-normative. There was non-normative tefillin that were around, and they were around for up until I think even the early Middle Ages. There was evidence that these things existed.
I have a friend who's an old friend mm-hmm. who was like one of the leaders of the Karaites.
Really?
And in high school. And back then he was like, you know, he went to an Orthodox day school, but we'd have like all these debates because he was like in that direction. And he said that he didn't take it literally at all. In other words, he was like, there's a pasuk, you know, I think even Ibn Ezra might say something, he quote, like, yeah. So like, it was like a mashal, like, you know, like which says like right on the, like your heart or something, it literally means write it. So just an idea of like, you should have it in your mind in general. I don't know if that carries.
Anyway, so the Gemara says, Lema tanina lahad ditanu rabbanan, tefillin merubah nehalach lamosh misinai. Va'omarava bitafran valach sanon. The tefer, in other words, the we put it away too soon, but in other words, if it's a square, it has to be squared in the stitches on the bottom are perfectly square. And when you stitch it, this is always a danger. Our tefillin are made much, much hardier than in previous generations because we have this way of like taking the leather is very strong, yeah. Right? All our tefillin are gasot. Right, but even our gassot are more gass than the gassot of the old days. You understand two ways of making tefillin, gassot and dakot. Right, they could take like a very thin piece of leather and fold it origami style to make the boxes. That's what dakot are. But like a piece of origami, if you sit on it, it goes squat. Gassot, our tefillin, are made out of a whole fat piece of leather, like from the hind end of the cow, like the hips or something, where the leather is very thick, and it's kind of like carved out, pressed out of that thick leather, so it's very chazak, right? So if you, God forbid, sat on your tefillin, chas v'shalom, your tefillin probably are not going to become puzzle.
It won't. Right? My son actually had his knapsack at one point run over by a truck.
And?
Everything was destroyed in it. Crushed, except for the tefillin.
Well, it's like an art school story.
No, it's just that they're made very...
Right.
They use a very powerful press to squeeze it.
Right. So like even if you, God forbid, you drop your tefillin, like if you drop it and it lands mamash like on the corner could get like dented. But even then they have a way to square it off, to suck it out somehow, to fix it. So, but the tefarim, when they would sew the tefarim, since the tefarim have to be sewed tightly, right, to hold the, right, you know, like the thing opens up like this, you put in the parshiot, you close it, and then you sew it up, the stitches, but it's sewed in such a way, and then it's painted over, you don't even see the seam. When they would sew the stitches, it could warp the square, right? So you have to be careful with that. Elmer of Papa matnitin de avida ki amguza. So the Mishnah is talking about if you made the tefillin round like a walnut, right? Not rounded like on the bottom. Like what's it talking about? So this is talking about our tefillin. So imagine our tefillin, which are square on top but round on the bottom. Right? Imagine the bottom isn't flat. Right? And you could still have the square on the top and round on the bottom. And our mission is saying that would still be...
Convex or concave?
Convex.
I don't remember.
Concave is it goes in like a cave. No, like this. Right?
Why would that be?
Because that's still a sakana. Right? Because the sakana is the point that's going to hit your head on the soft spot. It's regardless of what's on the top, whether it's a ball or it's a square on top. Right? So does that's the point of the Gemara that it's a sakana. It's you don't fulfill the mitzvah. But chamira sakanta mi sura. In other words, Chazal were always worried about sakanot, which is why you have like all those things you shouldn't eat together or do together or things you shouldn't leave out overnight, all these things which modern science doesn't seem to be so worried about. But Chazal knew if you left the water out overnight, a snake was going to come and spit some poison into it. You drink it in the morning, you're dead. If you eat the fish and the milk, the fish and the meat together, you're dead.
In my opinion, one of the greatest tragedies of contemporary Orthodoxy is that like we seem to have forgotten how significant. I mean, you'd imagine that if the Chazal was living now and they knew the things that were dangerous now, they would say it's completely us to do all these things that we know are dangerous. And people,
Smoking.
But not just. Yeah. They say walking in certain places that you're not allowed to do. It's all like, jaywalking.
Driving with your kids, with your 2-year-old jumping in the front seat.
Or sitting on your lap.
Or sitting on
you and the steering wheel.
Chamira sakanta misura. Right? Right? Yeah, Chazal thought you shouldn't leave sharp knives laying around. Why? Because it drives me crazy. Somebody in my house, it's very rare that somebody in my house will do the dishes and put them away. But in the odd case that they will, they'll put like this sharp paring knife, like in the drawer, like pointing out at you. So like you reach into the drawer to get a Chamir sakata misur. Okay. What time is it?
13.
Okay, let's just learn this next Mishnah. Ha'omer yivarech ha'tuvim hare ze derech minut. If somebody says, presumably as part of their tefillah, right? Presumably as part of their tefillah. If you say yivarech ha'tuvim, the good ones bless you, God. Hare ze derech minut. This is heresy. Why is that heresy? Sounds like a nice thing that all the good people praise Hashem, right? Rashi says, "She'eno kolel rishayim b'shivcho shel makom." In other words, even the rishayim can praise Hashem. Right? I saw that some Haredi Ruv said that children of non-religious Jews, non-religious children of non-religious Jews, should be treated with respect. Stop the presses! Right? Yeah. If that makes news, we're in a bad spot. But the point is that Rishayim are also obligated to praise Hashem. V'chachamim lamdu. No, anyway. Al kan sipor yagiu rachamecha. If you say that God's mercy reaches the bird's nest. Which bird's nest? The bird's nest of Shiluach Haken. Right? So it's also no good. Va'al tov yizkor shemecha. And if you say that we remember your name for all the good things you do, if you say modim modim, when you say modim anachnu lach, if you say it twice, mashtikinot, all of these things, we silence someone who says this. Right? Why? The Gemara will explain that each of these is philosophically problematic. Hamechane be'arayot mashtikinoto. If somebody explains the Gilei Arayot, the forbidden sexual unions, in a kind of euphemistic way. Right? Mashtikinoto. Rashi says, "Begemara mefarish shedoresh parshat arayot bekinui v'omer lo erva mamash diber hakatuv ela kina hakatuv bilshano v'kara oto erva hamagale kalon aviv v'kalon imo b'rabim kinui hu lashan hipuch shemaapech diburo l'shevach olegnai v'harbe yesh b'lashon chachamim." Right? You say you can't lo segale ervat avicha. What's the pshat of lo segale ervat avicha? A child should not expose their parents' nudity. Certainly, in a, no. Then there's other psukim about, about your step, right? Right? Right. So if you want to say another posik me, what's erva? Erva is like the embarrassing things. So lo segal erva tavicha means you shouldn't say anything that embarrasses your father, which also you shouldn't do. But that's not the pshat of the posik. Right? But if you don't want it to, like you're explaining the posik, you want to, you know, like this idea of like, you know, you say it like euphemistically. A friend of mine told me it was once at some kind of like a mock seder. It was like an interfaith mock seder. Like with the something, I don't know. The priest, the local priest was there, the minister was there, whatever it was. So Rabbi says, Shvoch hamotcha lagoyim. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Or in the words, as I once heard Avi Ravitsky once say, Shvoch hamotcha lagoyim, cast your mother-in-law out onto the nations. So somebody that euphemizes the arayat mashtikin oto. Presumably that's talking about maybe like a mitargim. Ha'omer umizarecha lo titein lahavir lamolech lo titein la'abra ba'armiyuta. Somebody who says that the posuk of lo titein zarecha lamolech, which was this tekes where you take your children and you would pass them through the fires, it was like this avodah zarah, and you say, what does that mean? Like, it means you shouldn't impregnate the shikse. Right? Because if you have a Jewish man has a child with a non-Jewish woman, that non-Jewish child is going off to avodah zarah. Right? So, obviously you can't impregnate a non-Jewish woman. But that's not what the pasuk means. Right, this idea of euphemizing the psukim in some way.
I don't think euphemizing.
Euphemizing is not the right word. What's
the second one? Euphemizing is like when you use a pretty word to mean something bad. Like I'm going to the washroom to mean you're.
Yeah.
And so here you're just.
No, but the case of Ervat Avicha would be it's saying means don't say embarrassing things about your parents.
That's a euphemism.
No,
that'd be a euphemism because you want to talk about your naked father.
You're saying that the pasuk means don't show your father's nakedness. You're just giving a. You're giving a wrong interpretation.
Okay, you're whitewashing it.
Right.
Is whitewashing?
Right. But I don't understand why do they? Maybe Gemara talk about this, why do they list these four psukim? There is hundreds or thousands of psukim that you can give the wrong interpretation to.
What's the problem?
Yeah, it could be, but it could be that this is not an exclusive list. Right, these are examples of whitewashing of psukim that have to be silenced because it leads to.
I mean, beforehand it said like derech haminim. So, like, if this is things that the minim would say.
No, these are not things that the minim would say. These are things that.
I'm saying if it was, and I understand what they're listing for psukim, but there's like, you know, ayin tachat ayin and arba'im malkot, and there's, you know, hundreds of psukim that we don't take literally or we interpret one way or the other that people.
See, you see the last, look at the last Rashi. Mashtikin oto ben zifa, right? Somebody had this thing about the molech. Not only do you quiet him, not only do you silence him, but you silence him with force. Rashi says, "Begemara mefaresh." No, wait. "Sheoker hakatuv mimashmuto shehu avodat chok laamorayim lahaavir beneihem leish venotein karet laba al hakutit." Umechayev chatat al hashogeg, umitat betin al hamezid. In other words, it's a problem because it's. In other words, you end up confused. You say this pasuk of Molech is talking about somebody who has a child with this non-Jewish woman, right? But the punishments are not at all the same. Right, it's not just that you're giving a wrong pshat, but it comes to a false halachic conclusion. Are you allowed to give your child to Molech? No. Are you allowed to have relations with a non-Jewish woman and have a child with her? No. But they're not in the same halachic categories, and this causes confusion.
If they were, then it would be okay.
No, it wouldn't. But now, as Rashi's trying to explain why these cases may have been singled out. right? Obviously, you can never lie about the Torah. You can never falsify the Torah. You can never whatever. But the idea that certain things are, maybe these were certain examples that were particularly problematic that people didn't like to talk about. They weren't PC. So like people would whitewash them. So maybe that was why the Mishnah singled them out. Okay, we'll finish the Gemara. You know, next week we'll really try to finish the Perek next week. I apologize, we have to end a little early. And